You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
I mean, I'm trying to get off to a good start on what is the first day of the rest of our jet lives. And you, don't spill that. And you are anywhere but here right now. The show begins and you are walking around. You're out. This is the one thing. We love being down here at Seaport.
Yes.
But when we are here, you are, seriously, you are the mayor. You got to talk to everybody. You're shaking hands and kissing babies.
I just had to make sure that Brandon is settled down. I had to make sure that Greeny was good. Because all this Jet slander, see, they're not used to the Jets having good things. So when they get good things, everybody want to find the negative angle from it.
Greeny was in a great mood today.
Yes, yes.
All right.
But I just wanted to make sure that Greeny, don't worry about it. I'm about to hop on these airwaves, and I got all the smoke for anybody that got any hate. And if anybody calls up here and hate on this pick, the fact that the Jets are paying $43 million and Daniel Jones makes $42 million, man, you can kiss my ass. That's capital A-S-S. And for all the analysts out there that's trying to find an angle, a great Hall of Fame player that just won the MVP, pick the Jets.
Yep.
So I don't care what it costs. Did you see what was paid for Russell Wilson just a year ago?
True.
Kick rocks.
Let them know.
Like I said, capital A-S-S.
What?
Bart's black ass.
Who? The Jets?
Yeah, now he going to get that smoke too, because he got filet of fish last year, and now he going to get filet of fish again.
You're a nerd.
I know you are, but what am I?
You're an idiot.
I know you are, but what am I?
I mean, that's the conversations we're going to be having all
so
day.
So call here, up here if you want to.
Let's go.
I got something for you.
Yeah. Let's get that. So 800-919-3776 is the number, because if you're a Jets fan, this is an opportunity for you to crow and enjoy. And if you are a nervous Jets fan, I don't even know if I want to hear from you today. Because this is not, like to me, this is the culmination of an offseason that began, let's be honest, with great concern about quarterback position and what do they do, options that man, do you imagine there was a time that we were discussing Derek Carr. Derek Carr or Jimmy Garoppolo or Ryan. Remember we were going Ryan Tannehill?
You know what those
are? We were discussing that as, well, you know, like we were trying to make that sound good.
That's Impossible Burger meat. That's what we were trying to do. I was trying to sell you the fact that I had a Chrysler 300, not with the Hemi in it, not with the V8 in it.
Right.
We had the Hemi with the Rolls Royce kit on it, and we were trying to tell you that we was getting a Rolls Royce.
Yep.
Guess what? We got the real Rolls Royce. Now, yes, it's a used Rolls Royce, but it's the one with the Mastery kit. It's the best Rolls Royce you can get.
Let me tell you something. I want every Jets fan to just take a moment and just
take
whatever you're doing.
Take a lap.
Just listen closely to your radio right now. The starting quarterback of the New York Jets is Aaron Rodgers.
A freaking A-Ron.
And not only is it Aaron Rodgers, he has chosen to be here. Like, this is not the Jets traded for a guy. Now they got to convince him to play. Remember, we'll have Mike Tannenbaum on later on in the show. And Mike T, remember, had to convince Brett Favre when they traded for him.
Yes.
Had to convince Brett, it's not so bad here. You'll like it here. Look, we'll show you all these great places.
Like places to live. He showed him Woody's Farm.
Right, right. Show you where you can go hunt and fish and all the things you want to do. Look, it's really great. You're going to love it.
They kidnapped 13,000 deers from Minnesota and put them on Woody's lot just so Brett Favre can have something to shoot at.
Like, you had to convince Brett Favre to play for the Jets. There was nothing to convince Aaron Rodgers. He chose you. So let's just begin there. And I'm telling you, anyone, look, the haters are out there. We'll definitely deal with you.
Call up haters.
Yeah, please do.
Call your ass up.
But I want Jets fans to understand something that while it's hard to believe because you're not used to, you know, we're not used to having nice things. But this is different, and this is when you can start to feel it turn. Now, I also want Knicks fan to understand something, too, because I want you to pay attention. Because this is what happens when you start drafting and developing well. When you start acting like a credible organization, a stable organization. Because look at it, from Joe Douglas's first day on, how they have built through the draft, they have made moves to keep them flexible with their cap, and to have the assets ready for when a star was to be available. And Joe Douglas has a good reputation, as you know. This is not in the past. You've had some guys here, a little squirrely, didn't really have great connections. There was a lot of promise, but never really sold you on it, never really was able to sell that promise, right? They had to overpay for some guys in the past. This is different. It starts at the very top with empowering Joe Douglas to be in charge. We're going to do it this way. It's going to take a couple of years. But now you have, after a couple of really good drafts that you've hit on, and you could say what you want. Well, by the way, he didn't get the quarterback, or did he? Because last I checked, Zach Wilson is somebody that Aaron Rodgers appreciated. He liked the kid, stayed in touch with him, cared about him. Fact, you could argue that Aaron Rodgers gives more a rip about Zach Wilson than he did about Jordan Love. Jordan Love probably sitting back seeing these texts to Zach Wilson going, he never did that to me. He never sent me texts like that. Like, think about it for a minute. So perhaps you also did a pretty good job on the draft because you got a quarterback that the guy cares about. Oh, and if you really want to know something that to me, when I heard this today, Bart, this is the part that really got me. Like, I had fun. We all kind of laughed. We cheered. We celebrated. We did all of our tweets and all that other stuff. But there was something that I heard yesterday from one of the most credible people in the business who said these words, and I got to admit, even I got emotional.
I think part of this was he wanted to be a part of the offseason program. And obviously, yeah, the Jets want him there. Obviously, he's not going to have a hard time picking up the offense, being that Nathaniel Hackett is the offensive coordinator. But he now will be cleared to be a part of the Jets offseason program, which began last week. And he can take part in these drills and get to know his new teammates, familiarize himself with the offense, which he knows very well from having worked in it before.
So Adam Schefter says that, and Dan Graziano this morning on Get Up confirms it. Aaron Rodgers is actually interested in showing up to practice and work out in the offseason program with the Jets in Florham Park. I need a minute.
Yeah. See.
I need a minute.
I wish I would have known that. When we come back, I'm gonna have what I'm gonna have what A.A. Ryan is basically saying in my movie terms, because you know I speak to everybody in movie terms.
Yes, you do.
We're gonna have that movie quote all about it. We're gonna have it.
Hey, Rodgers.
That's going to be fans. They're all lining up at the OTAs.
But here's the reality, right?
So
Aaron Rodgers,
go ahead.
Is agitated. Aaron Rodgers is motivated.
Oh.
Aaron, it is nothing in this world, maybe than Psycho Tom, that is more scary than Scorch Earth A.A. Ron.
Mm.
Last time he went Scorch Earth, yeah, they didn't win a championship, but he went on and won two MVPs back.
They drafted a quarterback to replace him, and he went, oh, so you think I'm done?
Hmm.
All I'm going to do is light up the league and get two more MVPs.
Oh, now you want to hit people with garbage cans. Nah, I got to cut you. You got to be crazy pulling your gun on me.
Bart, before we get to the calls, again, 800-919-3776. They're already stacked, racked, and ready to go. And we really do have a lot to get to today because there's a lot of hoop stuff to talk about, what happened with the Rangers, blah, blah, blah. But listen, talk to me, though, from a Jet perspective. Yes. You are a player.
Yep.
You wore that jersey proudly. You guys had the most recent success, the best success this franchise has seen in consecutive AFC Championship appearances since the Super Bowl. You know, there's been one every now and then. You went to two of them. You were on the doorstep of the Super Bowl twice with this franchise. So I know it means a lot to you.
I'm ready to see the team get over the hump. Like, we took them so far. We took a step back. We had another run with Brandon Marshall, and we thought that that was going to be something. They had an outstanding team, two receivers with 1,000 yards.
He and Decker. Right.
But now you have one of the best players in the most important position in all of sports. That gives you wiggle room. That gives you – we had to be perfect. They don't have to be perfect. They just have to be in the game. And he'll be, and if it comes down to Aaron Rodgers with the ball in his hand against Buffalo, if it comes down to Aaron Rodgers with the ball in his hand against the Dolphins, if it comes down to Aaron Rodgers versus the vaunted Bill Belichick, I know he has no fear about that. I think he embraces that.
Mm-hmm.
I think he exposes that. And the Jets are just getting started. The same pressure is put on Joe Douglas, because now it's like one of those things when you're at practice or they get you on the game, you have the game of your life. That's what we expect. We know that that's what you're capable of. So when this draft comes, I don't care about – listen, it was more important to Green Bay to pick at 15 to go get that tight end, Kincaid, or to be able in position to get the player that they want than it is at the Jets to move down to 15.
It's two spots.
It's still going to be
– right.
It's still going to be the lineman there that they want.
And by the way, you still have the 43rd pick, which you could pair if you wanted to move up and get the guy you wanted. Don't it's even, not like – like so that I don't believe it's an overpay. No. I think you paid market price.
They got the number 5 pick, fifth round pick. Remember, they swapped that
yep.
to pair with the 43rd pick in case they want to move up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And they got an extra fourth round pick next year that they can pair if they in the second round if they want to move up. They can pair 4 and 5 to move back in the third.
And if I may quote Les Snead, when you're at this point, F them picks, man.
Mm-hmm.
F them picks. Because I will take a Super Bowl. I will take a Super Bowl and then have to live with what the Rams are going to live with now these next couple of years.
Yeah, 2 years.
Is you just know, all right, we're going to have to pay it back. But wouldn't you be more than happy to pay it back?
That's the thing is, they're going to be, even with the Rams, you take that if you take that example.
Right.
They still have Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
They won't be hot garbage.
No, and they have Cooper Kupp. Like Garrett Wilson.
And they have Aaron Donald.
Yeah, and as long as he wants to play. Now, this is something that you've mentioned many times, and I went and I, because I was on Get Up this morning, and actually, at first, I was supposed to be part of the Jet Rodgers conversation, but they got so many people wanted to come out of the woodworks and be part of it. Rex Ryan showed up with his dad, with Buddy Ryan's Super Bowl III ring. He had that. They had Herm Edwards on. Like, it was wonderful to see. D. Wood was in the studio. Like, it was great. So I had this ready to go. I double-checked with everybody, including Hembo, who's on top of stats all the time. And so let's share it here. As we know, the Jets had a top-5 defense last year, yes?
Yep.
You have said this before, but I have the numbers now, the exact numbers. The most depressing stat from last season is now the most encouraging. If the Jets just averaged 21.9 points per game, which was the league average last year, 22 points, they would have won 11 games.
Yep.
That's it. That's average. The Packers last season, arguably one of their worst offensive seasons with Aaron Rodgers, averaged 21.8 points per game. So even if he is just average, last year, not good.
Yeah.
You have a shot at 11 wins because your defense is so good and there's a capable person under center. It's like, just start there.
Yeah.
I'm talking about not shooting for the moon, not win the division and all, not light up the league because look at all the weapons you have. No, I'm saying even at the
just
worst
the average.
Possible thing he could be, which is average, which he's never been in his career, they would be a double-digit win team. Let's just begin with that point.
Yep.
800-919-3776. Got plenty more nuggets to share with you throughout the rest of the show. For those who still are unsure if this is the right thing. Oh, it's the right thing, everybody. Just bathe in it. Enjoy it. Because this city now adds another megastar to its sports landscape.
Can we before we go, because I'm
we're
super,
not going anywhere. We got calls to get
to. What I'm saying, because I'm super agitated. Before we go to the call,
you mad?
Yes, because yesterday, it's like this SNY chart. I don't know if you've seen it.
Oh, I saw it because I made my own.
Yes,
you saw my tweet.
They have all the top athletes. Whose city is it?
I saw that.
Not one Jet.
Stupid.
Danny Dimes.
Yeah.
Saquon franchise tag Barkley. Mm-hmm. We had three Knicks. Aaron Judge is the only one that won MVP.
And I will tell you this, that
Julius Randle.
I know. On my list, I had one Nick.
You don't got the sauce.
And then I added a Nick at the bottom, like when I call it most popular. I didn't say whose city and all that stuff. I just did that. My list is a lot different than that one. Yeah, SNY had theirs. I didn't love it, which is why I said, you know what? I'm going to go to Twitter.
Not one Jet.
And I'm making my own list. So here's my – I'll tell you what. Let's add this
to the
conversation.
That's what we need to add to people's, because I need to know.
Yeah, let's add this to the conversation. Well, I know a lot of Jets fans want to sound off, so I want to give them that opportunity.
Yes.
But let me give you my list, and then we can certainly go from here. Okay? So I did the list yesterday, power ranking the most popular athletes in New York sports as of right now.
Right.
And this was yesterday, right after the news broke on Aaron Rodgers. Number 10, I went Josh Hart / Chris Kreider. Because at that point, Chris Kreider was lighting up the – you know, yep. Josh Hart, everybody loves him. 8, Igor Shesterkin, the Rangers goalie. All right, 9 was Igor. 8, Saquon. 7, Justin Verlander, mainly because he is popular. Everybody knows who he is. He hasn't pitched yet for the Mets, but the minute he does, everybody knows him and, of course, his wife. 6, Gerrit Cole. Everybody knows who he is, $300 million man. 5, Daniel Jones. 4, Pete Alonso. 3, Jalen Brunson. 2, Aaron Judge. 1, Aaron Rodgers. Everybody told me I was wrong to put Rodgers ahead of Judge. When I say popularity,
yes.
The NFL is just a larger entity than baseball is yes. right now. More people who don't even follow sports know who Aaron Rodgers yes. is more than they know Aaron Judge.
Yes.
I'm a Yankees fan.
Globally.
But I just think reality tells me that.
Yeah, globally.
If you have a problem with my list, let me know. But that's it. And I mean, I could have stopped at 5. I did 10. I added some other people yeah. that we love. But that 5, you can't shake that 5.
I'm going to go with the sauce, too.
Sauce Gardner should be in there?
The sauce got it. Sauce is more popular than Daniel Jones.
He's pretty popular.
The sauce is taking over.
In New York, the Giants are a juggernaut.
I get it. But the sauce has global recognition.
All right.
Daniel Jones, outside of New York, don't have – that reach.
If
the sauce
so.
Has taken over all pro yep. as a rookie. Outstanding nickname. High expectations.
And the guys around the league all
up.
Love him. You
yes.
can tell.
He had a damn Super Bowl commercial.
He did.
He's a rookie.
Yeah, he did.
He's sitting there with Jalen Ramsey.
Yep.
Pouring sauce on a French fry.
That was pretty cool.
This is just the beginning.
And the Kelseys had him on their podcast already.
Did they have Daniel Jones?
No.
Negatory.
Negatory.
Did they have Saquon? Saquat.
I don't know.
Negatory.
I wouldn't know.
I think Rodgers and the sauce are deserving of most popular athletes in New York because of the swag, the personality, and better than any of that,
I mean,
because of the productivity on the field.
I mean, Aaron Judge is pretty.
No. I'm not taking Aaron Judge. Is definitely cemented at number 2.
Yeah, he's right there.
I have problems.
1A, 1B even.
I have problems with it being 2 Giants on the list, and Aaron Rodgers is a given. I don't care if he's playing for like the Arena League team.
Okay.
I don't care if he's playing Arena League. He's still the most popular.
He
don't even got to be in the league.
I hear
he's
you.
Most popular person, period, because
yeah.
of who he is. Discount, double check.
I'm with you. I'm completely with
But the
you.
Sauce should be on. I don't care. You can't have a list if you don't talk about the sauce with that nickname and that swag and what he did in taking over the league the first year.
I'm with
you. Deserves to be there. So what's their list?
Let's get some calls. We got a lot of people that want to react to this. We'll play with the list throughout the show. You got my list. I have it on my Twitter handle, at Alan Hahn, if you want to see it yourself and argue with me on it. I love it. 800-919-3776. So let's begin. And I like this question, so let's start with Joe in the car. Which is a reasonable question. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, happy day.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my goodness. What? The wait is over. I cannot verbally tell you how exciting this is. Now, I'm only 27 years old. So, like, I grew up watching Chad Pennington. But, like, you know, think about it. Just all the greats in Jets history. Klecko, Revis, Namath, now Rodgers. Like, this cannot get any better, and there cannot be any negativity as a Jet fan. If you have any negativity in you, you are truly not a Jet fan.
You're just happy being miserable. That's what it, if you have a if you feel negative about this, then you are truly somebody that just is happy being miserable. Like, it's the safe place
and
to
in,
be.
And in the grand scheme of things, the only thing that can cause negativity is what we gave up. But in the grand scheme of things,
what did you give up?
Yeah,
no, it's
it
you,
is, it is
you
not
paid market price.
The 13th, the 13th and the 15th, they wash. Two they wash spots. Out. The 5th right. and the 6th, they wash. So essentially, it's a second round pick this year. And a second round pick that could be a first round pick next year.
And you want it to be a first next year.
For anything better.
Exactly. Right. I'm rooting for that to be a first next year.
It's basically a late first.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It couldn't have been any better.
It should be in the 20s.
Like, the entire deal is a wash, essentially.
Exactly.
And listen, you're picking up $43 million of the signing. You're picking up $43 million of what his signing bonus is. Yeah. That's less than what Daniel Jones is making.
Exactly.
It
worked out well. But, Joe, you had a very interesting question you wanted to ask. Go ahead.
Now, are you worried that Zach is the number two? Personally, I think with Rodgers coming to OTAs and working with him during the preseason, God forbid he had to come in. I think that, you know, I have all the faith in the world that with OTAs and preseason with Rodgers, if he came in, he would look astronomically better than what he looked like last year.
Hey, guess what? He won't be your number two either.
Tim Boyle?
Tim Boyle. They'll get a veteran. Like, Teddy Bridgewater's still out there. They'll get a veteran.
Why'd they bring in Tim Boyle?
You think so?
Well, Tim Boyle knows.
I thought Tim Boyle was the guy that you would put in there another quarterback room guy.
He is getting a – because he was his backup.
Right.
So he knows the system.
And he knows the system. But I like – see, here's the thing, Joe. This is what you said, though. I don't want to glaze over that. Because the one issue that Zach Wilson had around him is he didn't have great guidance. Is that right? We all agree that?
Yeah.
That was one of the stories. Like, I believe Robert Saleh was the one who said, we failed him. So if that's the case, is there a better quarterback's coach to have than Aaron Rodgers?
Exactly. Rodgers had Favre. Rodgers got to examine Favre for however many years until he started.
And even if worst case scenario, Aaron Rodgers hurts himself, which, by the way, how many games did he miss in the last 5 years? One. All right. And it was due to COVID.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's got this issue. But let's just go ahead.
Exactly.
All the haters want to say he's old, this and that. All right, fine. If there's a point in the season where Rodgers misses time, is Zach Wilson gonna just feel a little bit smarter, a little more confident, just knowing that there's Aaron Rodgers? Who, by the way, we already have a working relationship. He already likes me. He's already invested in me. Like, is that not something that if you want to just consider what's the worst thing that can happen, it's that he's still there as a presence. And guys like that, I was talking to Damian Woody about this. Because D. Wood said the year they got Brett Favre, he's like, you walked into the locker room and you could just feel it. Everybody just was different. You just knew, like, oh, we got a guy. And it just makes you feel different. And so I wonder if now they'll just – Zach Wilson will be a little better prepared, a little more confident, a little more under control, whatever it is, all because of the presence of Aaron Rodgers. That's what you got to hope for, at least in this situation.
Yeah, he'll start mimicking his mannerisms.
Could be.
He'll start mimicking –
if he's smart, he will.
He'll start mimicking his cadence and his attention to cadence. Why do you – switch it up. When do you switch it up? Now he has somebody to ask, why do you fluctuate? Why do you go on two this time? Why do you go on three? How did you change it? It'll be in his voice, but he's going to mimic that. What makes you, what makes you go out there and see when a team is scrambling or a guy getting off the pile or talking trash and you speed up the huddle and you catch 12 men on the field, get a free play?
That's hilarious.
What makes you activate those little nuanced things that great quarterbacks do that we've seen from Tom Brady, that we've seen from Peyton Manning, that we've seen routinely from Aaron Rodgers, where I can steal a play to steal yards or to get in field goal range or to be able to just throw a bomb, you know, on just communication between you and the receiver. Nobody else knows it's supposed to be a run, but you catch 12 people on, and you catch a guy running on the field late, and they don't know, they ain't got the call, hut, and just go, and just throw a bomb up, and it, even if it gets intercepted, it don't count because 12 men on the field.
Right.
If it's illegal contact or pass interference, you just stole 50 yards because you were smart.
Yeah, and when is the last time the Jets had the smartest guy on the field? Yeah, I'll wait.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
We had a lot going on yesterday, and especially last night. A couple of those NBA playoff games were wild, were incredible. And to talk about that and more with us, we're in Tim Legler. Legs joins us right now. We hung out together on Get Up this morning. And I ran into so many Knicks fans, Legs, this morning. Who, and even yesterday before the games even were played.
On the way we were walking
right,
in.
Right, when we were walking in, we saw one guy stop.
They're everywhere.
And they're and they're just like, oh, man, I can't wait to play the Heat. Can't wait to play the Heat. And I watched Jimmy Butler last night, and I'm like, be careful what you wish.
Yeah, well, that's one aspect of it. The second aspect of it is, let's not disrespect Milwaukee quite yet. Okay? Because I don't think that series is necessarily over. I mean,
down 3-1 now.
Down 3-1. 2.5 games without Giannis. He's back, looked good physically. Mm-hmm. You're now going to have to go finish this off without Hero, without Oladipo, with a healthy Giannis. I think they smoked them in game 5, which then puts it down to a situation where the Heat will have one more home game in this series to try to close this series out. So this, to me...
And that would feel like a must-win, game 6 at home.
We got a bunch of 3-1s right now, and we always get 3-1s in the first round.
Yep.
Of all of the 3-1s, if you went and looked at all of them in the last 20 years, I've been doing this job... I would say I feel better about that 3-1 comeback than just about any because of the Giannis factor, how much time he missed in this series. They're going to have to do something obviously different with Jimmy Butler than they did the other night. I mean, that goes without saying. Mm-hmm. So now you put a lot of pressure on some other people in Miami to step up and help him out.
What would that say about Jimmy Buckets as a leader? I understand they got some good fortune with Giannis hurting his back and not having to play them at full strength. But what would be the ramifications from the Milwaukee side? Do you think they say, well, our best player got hurt, we'll run it back? Or do you think that may shift because of the expectations and not living up to expectations that they may break that up? And would that solidify maybe Jimmy Buckets in Miami? Because we thought that maybe Jimmy Buckets was able to be got potentially next year. What would that mean if they're able to pull it off for both of those franchises?
Looking at it from both perspectives, for Jimmy Butler, this is going to be one of his crown jewels if he gets them through this series and then they get into the next round. Think about it. If you did get Knicks Heat, there's a lot of people that would think that the Heat could win that series. I mean, it's not going to be like a prohibitive favorite is the Knicks. It's going to be not a coin toss.
I think
the
Knicks that's
would
a pick 'em.
The Knicks would be favored, but that is a series you could see going 6-7 games.
Oh,
if he were to somehow pull that off, now you're in the conference finals with this team missing Tyler Hero. So Jimmy Butler, this is going to be one of his greatest accomplishments if he's able to go on the kind of run we're talking about. From the other side, if they lose it, I do think unfortunately for them, they're going to have this fallback. Well, okay, you go play 2.5 games without not just your best player, without arguably the best player in the league, and see how that feels. And then coming back from a 3-1 deficit, that's 95% of the time. You said that earlier today, Alan. It's right, 95% of the time you lose. So if they lose the series, it's almost like you have an out as to why. It'd be interesting because that's the third time, if that were to happen, Giannis has taken a team with the overall best record into the postseason and not gotten even to the conference finals. The one year they won it was the year they took their foot off the gas in the regular season, and they had some injuries. They didn't care about best record. It almost was like it was too much pressure. They lost to Toronto. They lost to Miami. This would be another one. So just be interesting. It's almost like they're better off without the expectations if they're to lose it again this year. But I just don't think we've heard the last of the Bucks in this series. I'm very careful about them because of that player.
And remember, they almost were eliminated by Kevin Durant in that second round, but his foot was on the line, and you know, the rest is history when you think about those types of moments. Tim Legler joining us here in the studio.
Should we get a new name for him? Like, if Kevin Durant is Easy Sniper, should he just be Sniper something? You know what I mean?
Me?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. We got to come up with something.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable with just calling him Legs. I love Legs, but you know, he was a sniper too. You know what I'm saying?
He was the original sniper. If you think about it, like I always say,
Musket. Can you Musket?
Do you watch the game?
I'm not that damn old.
Straight Musket.
Shoot! Boom. Give me 5 minutes. I'm gonna reload.
But I've asked you this many times before, but it just goes without saying. I was talking to Rick Pitino the other day, and I was saying to Rick Pitino, you brought from Providence into the NBA with the Knicks in the late 80s this system of trapping defense but also shooting threes. And I remember it as a fan. Everybody's like, you can't win in the NBA like that. You'll never win in the NBA. That's not how you play. And I asked him, like, you know, do you watch the game now and just say, I told you? Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, absolutely. So, like, again, a player like you and the way you shot the basketball and the era you played in, which was pretty much elbows and knees and forearms and everything else, do you watch today's game and just say, man, I was born way too early?
Oh, there's no question. And here's how it's really changed. It's not so much that it's changing that shooters have the green light. I had the green light, too. It was the green as it could get. The difference is, more guys have the green light than ever in terms of taking that shot.
Irrationally.
When I played, you had 3 or 4 guys on your roster that coaches were comfortable taking 3-point shots, period. Now, pretty much, there's at least 10 guys on every roster that can take it whenever they want. That's the first thing. The second thing is, there is no thing that's a bad shot. I didn't play with that mentality. Like in the era I played in, you didn't fan out to the 3-point line in a 2-on-1 if I didn't have the ball.
Right.
Because that was just unconscionable. Like, I was going to have to get a layup or a short mid-range jumper on the break, right? A high percentage shot. So the thought process is totally different about what's a good shot, which is guys playing free of mind to shoot whenever they want. That's something that I never experienced. And that's what you're talking about. And yes, there's no question. If I played in today's era, I'd have a much bigger house.
I could see you. I could see you in your driveway just shooting it and turning around like Steph Curry does.
Oh, yeah.
Knowing that's going in. I'm just going to turn around, not even watch it go down. But something that also was part of last night that I'd love to get your take on, because I heard you yesterday on Get Up, and you said something about Jalen Brunson. I felt like he should have been most improved player. Because while Lauri Markkanen's numbers were fantastic, and yes, he was part of a big trade and all that stuff, And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander just gets better and better and better. Brunson's impact on winning, Brunson going as a second guy with Luka to becoming the man who has one of the top clutch players in the league, leading a team like he has in the Knicks that had been desperate for a point guard. There's so many things. His numbers, his scoring went up, his shooting percentage went up, everything went up. I felt like that should have earned him most improved player. It didn't. But what have you seen out of him to say for Knicks fans – that you should believe that you got a guy, that this isn't flash in the pan, this isn't first year of a contract kind of stuff?
No, definitely not. He has obliterated our expectations of his ceiling. That's the best way to describe it. I thought coming out, he was going to be a solid NBA point guard, probably a backup on most teams, certainly a backup on a good team, maybe eventually a starter on a mediocre team. Mm. If you'd have told me that Jalen Brunson's going to have the ball in his hip and average 24, 25 points a game on a team that's relevant, like in the mix to
high
contend,
usage,
I would have said, how? Because where's the athletic ability to be able to do that at that level? what he has gone to show you is, and I eat my words on it. I've known Rick forever too, and I said it about Jalen from the beginning, and I love owning the fact that I was wrong about his ceiling. It goes to show you what these qualities can do: strength, footwork, mm-hmm. IQ, and then just being made for the moment. Like, that's the final component. And we should, I guess, known that because he won a national championship. He's got that running through his veins, but he embraced the – he was the biggest name free agent in the market. Going to this market, the pressure, by the way, to fill that position for the first time in 20 years, that's a lot of pressure. He didn't even blink. He wanted all of that. Yep. So those four components, right, strength, footwork, his ability to have poise and want the moment – I never thought he could shoot the ball from this deep, though, ever.
40% this year.
And the way he gets it, the step backs off the dribble from 28 feet, I just didn't think his stroke translated to that at the NBA level. I was dead wrong about all of that. And so, yes, Knicks fans, you have the guy. You have the guy that you're going to need to now contend going forward for any time in the foreseeable future.
Think about it. The Jets have a quarterback and the Knicks have a point guard. The last time you could say that was literally the early 70s.
Hell is froze over.
Literally. Joe Namath and Walt
Frazier.
Who is
the point guard Namath? Frazier Namath.
That's the last time we could say that.
I already see a billboard right now. Yeah. Frazier, Namath, and those two guys, right?
Jalen was so important, not just for his basketball IQ, but just alleviating the pressure from Julius Randle to have to play make. Right, and I compare Jalen Brunson all the time, and people say, oh, Bart, this is because you're from Detroit. You always want to circle back to Detroit.
It's a good one.
I believe that Jalen Brunson has had the same effect on the Knicks that Chauncey Billups had when he went, you know, to the Pistons. His ability to be strong, to be a great high-percentage decision-maker, and the fact that he's not afraid to take the big shot and live with the results have, I believe, been the biggest difference, because now they have an unquestioned leader where Julius Randle may be their best player. I think he's their most important piece because all the intangibles that he brings to the table.
There's no question about it. He solidified the most important position in the league, right? He stabilized them. You can see the confidence now that they have knowing the ball's in a guy like that. He's a natural-born leader. When it's in his hands, you feel safe. It's in control. He's going to make great decisions. The scoring, to leap to this level as a scorer, has been shocking to all of us. This isn't going to go away. It's not like next year he goes and averages 18 and shoots 38%. I just don't see it because the quality of shots he gets for himself are so high that he's always going to shoot a good percentage. But the guy that benefits the most, without question, is going to be Julius Randle, because he doesn't have to make every important decision for that team. It's not going to be every ISO for Julius like it was against Atlanta last year in that series. And you could feel the weight of the series building on his shoulders as it went deeper. Brunson takes all that off his plate. So now Julius Randle can play poorly and they can win.
Which they have. He has.
Right. And so Julius Randle is not going to, like, same thing
he's
with AD.
Get them slings and arrows.
Right. Same thing with AD last night. You know, LeBron misses that layup at the buzzer and they lose by two. This is an avalanche of criticism on Anthony Davis today. He doesn't hear any of it because LeBron did that. Same thing with Julius Randle. Jalen Brunson plays this way. It takes pressure off of him to have to be great every night. Hopefully that's going to pay off dividends the deeper they go.
Now you have a 20,000 like view. Like, we're so close to it that we can't take our personal emotions out of it. But going into this series and definitely going back to the Garden, the pressure was on R.J. Barrett.
Oh, yeah.
And he passed the test. Are we done questioning him, or does he have to prove more, or can he kind of move on and can we adopt him and say, hey, we know that he has that mental toughness? Because I think it was more about mental toughness, coming back home, knowing that if he missed those shots, what the ramifications and the criticism would be the next day if they let this series get out of hand and he showed up and carried the team as well when Julius Randle didn't have his best game.
He was sensational two games in a row. Having said that, the nature of his game offensively means you asked, is he going to continue to be questioned? He is a lifetime Jeopardy contestant. He will be he will be getting questions his entire career.
Who, why, what?
Because I just think he's one of those guys that's never going to – he's never going to be like a 50% field goal percentage shooter. He's always going to be streaky. Because he's not a pure shooter.
He's John Starks Jr.?
Yeah, kind of. And so, look, when you get these, fortunately, they came at critical times, and he's going to have more very important moments coming up the further this goes. You got those. I'm a Knicks fans, take it when you get it, and don't overthink the nights he doesn't play that way, because this is who he's going to be. But you can see what his upside can be. The important thing is he did it with a lot of pressure, a ton of eyeballs when Julius Randle wasn't playing well. Because if R.J. Barrett is inconsistent in those two games, it's a totally different series. So just take it when you can get it with one of those guys.
What did you see from LeBron last night? like just him alone, his team and everything else is one thing. But just watching him, what did you see out of him last night?
Fascinated me because he was playing center on one end and point guard on the other. And it's a very weird thing. Like, that's what he was doing. He was their enforcer in the paint. He was blocking shots above the rim. He was taking charges. He was cleaning up every defensive rebound they had to have. And then on the other end, he just ran the show. To me, I don't think people really – I can impress upon them enough how difficult it is to do what he did at the end of regulation when he had not scored in that quarter. In fact, he went 7 minutes without shooting the ball. And now you get it with 6 seconds to go. You're 35 feet from the basket down two. Your wheelhouse is not a pull-up three to win the game. I've got to get to the basket. They've got the defensive player of the year standing on the baseline waiting for me. I've got 38 feet to go. By the way, the guy guarding him is an elite-level defender. I haven't shot the ball in a long time. I'm not necessarily super confident shooting free throws, so I'm just going to go ahead and put my head down, go full speed, throw this thing off the top of the glass with such touch, right? I can't impress upon people enough how difficult the quality of shot that he got for himself was, and to finish it in a finesse manner for a player like that, unbelievable. And he got them another 5 minutes, and then they closed it out.
And then he beast-moded Dylan Brooks to finish it.
Couldn't have it to a better person. Saddle up, partner.
Yeah, that's what that was.
Bear be poked.
That's just straight bully ball to close it.
Love it. Legs, great to have you. Thanks so much for giving us a few
more.
No, man, look at the time.
His legs run through the commercials.
No, I got to go because they put four straws in my smoothie. Must have been a mix-up.
It's just solidified.
Inside joke. How you expect me
to drink pancake batter with a with a stir straw?
Thanks so much.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
I still feel good, man. Old Musket put a lot of
he liked that nickname, though. He did like that nickname, Musket. That's pretty good. Let's get some calls going here. We continue the conversation. Of course, Aaron Rodgers. We can get into NBA stuff as well. You heard him talking about it. All you Knicks fans that are like, oh, I want the Heat. I want to play Miami. You watched Jimmy Butler last night. Are you sure you want that smoke? You never know what he's going to do. I'd rather have a banged up Giannis, maybe.
Nah, because they too long and too talented, man. Middleton and Brooke.
Do you trust Jimmy Butler and the ability to do what he can do?
I trust that Jimmy Butler can't give you that for a whole series, and he can't. And if he does give it to you, I don't believe that Kyle Lowry and his Nicki Minaj hips and Bam out of the Bayou can be able to play that physical that long. I think Jimmy Butler can bring it. I don't think the rest of his squad without Tyler Hero, you know what I'm saying, you know, will be able to have one enough, you know, rebounding and enough toughness. I just think the Knicks are way too deep.
I definitely want
Jimmy Buckets.
Well, we are one win away from each team from having that as a second round series. 800-919-3776. Scott Manhattan, Scott, you want that smoke?
What's up, guys? Well, first and foremost, pulling defense by Milwaukee and Memphis last night. And Brooks, like I said, how did that old man show you what he can do last night, right?
Yeah.
So shut up. I guess you know now.
Brooks,
but
yep.
As far as being a Knicks fan, look, like Bart just said, I want Milwaukee because I want the Heat because Milwaukee has too much size. And like Bart just said, touching on it, you know, if we went through Donovan Mitchell, we can deal with Butler. He's not going to give you 50. All the time, and like you just said, the rest of the supporting cast, they don't have it, and I do agree with Legs that out of the 3-1 series, this is the only one that scares me that I think that could be a comeback.
I don't want Holiday on Brunson. Not a good matchup. I don't want that smoke.
That's a good point.
I don't want that smoke. That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, he's pretty
good.
Is
that our most important player being shut down and having a bad series because, you know, Drew Holiday is him too.
Yeah, he definitely is him. Let's continue. Let's go to Harper in Brooklyn. Harper.
Hey, what's going on, gents? So real quick, I feel like the Jets organization said, you know what, let's do this for the fans. And maybe it doesn't make a lot of, you know, fiscal sense or, you know, talent-wise, you know, for the future. But here's the thing. So I am a season ticket holder, section 248B, row 9, seats 1 and 2, right? And I watched all these fans come in, fathers, sons, and grandfathers, and they're crying at these games every week. We're sitting out there in the cold and the rain. Finally, this is something that Jets fans can be happy about. To be honest with you, I don't care about the picks. You know, the picks mean nothing to me. If we set this franchise back maybe a year or two, you know, it is what it is. I haven't been this excited since I heard a certain player look, you know, in the TV when asked about going to Pittsburgh in the playoffs and say, can't wait. You know, I jumped up and I smacked my son and my wife threw me out the house and he was 8 years old right in the back of the head. And I haven't been that excited since then. So screw the picks. Let's just enjoy it. And kudos to the Jets organization for once looking out for the fans.
And the thing is, it's not even that great of it. It's not the compensation for the draft picks ain't nothing. You can make a trade and get back another number two. It's fine.
It's interesting you say that because the Jets were graded on this trade by ESPN experts. And also another ESPN expert, while he liked the impact that the trade has for the Jets, he had some negative things to say about what it costs to get Aaron Rodgers.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.